But we're here today honoring our graduates. We're here today remembering the Lord's table. And I suspect there's a lot of importance in what we're doing here this morning, whether you graduate from school or not, because there's a call by God to call us to faith. Now, in 2 Corinthians, Paul is toward the end of his ministry. I suspect he was probably toward the end of his life. That doesn't necessarily mean he was an older guy yet, but he was toward the end of his life. He probably wrote that letter from Rome, and he may have been killed not too long after the text was written. And he shares with the people back at Corinth over on the Greek peninsula the issue of a God-pleasing faith. And he's calling them, and I think that's the call to us, and we're just going to look at five quick things this morning, to be people who live above the pettiness of life, live above the ugliness of this world, to live as holy, righteous examples to a world that needs reconciliation. You know, we live in a time when people split over issues that we once tolerated. We see friendships fall apart over things that we once said, hey, we can agree to disagree and move on. And so I think God's calling us, and he's calling me, and I know he wants to call you as graduating seniors. And so I was thinking about you guys as I was writing this message of how to live a life that is filled with God-pleasing faith. And so I want to look at the text, and then we'll look at five quick things, and that is the message today. That is the application. And I'm going to just hit it straight on, and then we'll shoot to be out of here in a few minutes. So let's look at the text real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So, whether we are at home or away, we make our aim to please God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he's done in the body, whether good or evil. Father, I pray that as we look at this text, you would show us how to live a life that blesses you with the faith that you called us to receive and to live out. Father, whether we're 18-year-old senior, graduate, getting ready to go into real life, or God, maybe we're 80-something, and you're calling us to finish well, that, Father, you would help us to see the importance of a life filled with God-pleasing faith. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, the first thing I want you to see this morning is pretty simple. It's this struggle that we deal with, this tension that we deal with, this wrestling that we face on a regular basis. I was reading, as hopefully some of you were this week, in the book of Job. And Job talked about in one of those early passages that whether God brings good or evil, he's still God. And it's a wrestle and a tension that we face in our lives. And so Paul's dealing with the same thing as he gets toward the end of his life. He looks at his life and says, hey, there's always going to be this tension of I'm called by God, my destination is sure, my eternity is certain, and yet I have to live within the here and now. So that's the first thing I want you to see this morning about a God-pleasing faith, is that we have to learn to wrestle with this tension. Look at the way he said it in the text. We are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. I don't know about you, but I find myself some days with this longing. You with me? This longing to be with the Lord, to be home with Christ, to not have to deal with the struggles of this life, to not face illnesses and pain and suffering and hardship and all the stuff that seems to go on around us. Ultimately, as a child of God, you understand that your destination is not this world, that we have a higher calling. Remember the words that Jesus told Pilate when he stood before him at trial? He said this, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom," he said, "is not from this world." Jesus got it that his life was bigger. Jesus had lived 30 years. He had been involved in the business of the family. But ultimately, he said this, "My life is not here." That's the call of a child of God. Your life is not here. Your life is bigger than this. Does that mean you ignore the life, you don't take care of business, you don't care? Not at all. But it means this. We have this tension that we live within, don't we? Between what God has and what we deal with in this life. And we have to learn to manage that. To be at home here, but also to have this longing there. Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians probably late in life, like I said, and some believe he was probably in prison when he wrote it. He understood the hope of God. He understood the reality that God had been leading him to this point, and yet he saw this tension that says, this is my life, but that's my life. Friends, that's your life if you're a child of God. This is my life, that's my life. I'm here, but I'm there. And there's a tension we have to learn to manage. Second, he goes on to say this, we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. The second aspect of living a God-pleasing faith is to learn to do this, to walk by faith, to say, I'm going to walk as God leads. In other words, another way to look at this word, and the word is faith in the original, but the concept behind it is this, is to learn to walk by hope, a hope that says, I know God is there. I know God is leading. I know God has got a plan. I know God has a purpose. See, some of you as graduates are sitting there going, okay, I think I know what God has for me next. Can I tell you something? He's got all kinds of prizes in store for you. Things that you don't know what's coming yet. And if you're sitting here and you're 75, 80 years old, can I tell you something? He's got surprises yet for you. Things he has in store for you. And so we have to learn not to go, well, here's my plan, here's my thought, here's what I'm going to do, but to say, God, I want to trust you, I'm going to follow you. Paul put it this way over in Romans. He said, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope is that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Paul, here near the end of his life, wants the people at Corinth, and I think maybe us as well, to grasp the thought that we need to live our lives daily, monthly, yearly, whatever you want to break it down into, letting God lead every step of the way. I was preparing the message this week, and I had a call from a friend of mine. And this friend was faced with a decision between one job or another. Do we go to work here or do we go to work there? I mean, you talk about a great problem. You know, some people are going, I just wish I had a job offer. You know, some people get two and they got to make a decision between those two. And with money being equal and geography being relatively equal, how do you make that decision? I got to tell you, I was so blessed when this friend said, I want to know, you ready? God's will. Wow, what an amazing thought. What does God want? What does God have? What's the hope that he has for me? How can I walk by faith, not by sight? You see, some of you are here today, you're going, well, I'm going to do my thing, and I'm going to take care of my thing, and I'm going to provide for myself, and I'm going to, whoa, stop. If you're a child of God, there has to come a place where we say, I'm not going to walk by sight, I'm going to walk how? By faith. It says, I trust God for what he's going to do. Will he answer your prayer if you ask him to show you where you need to go next? Can I tell you something? I'd love to tell you yes. He may leave you hanging for a while, won't he? Going, Walk by faith, not by sight. Third, there's a desire that we have to develop, that we have a want. Anybody have wants in life? Hello. We're Americans, right? We have all kinds of wants, all things these we want. This is a little bit different. It's a want for a good eternity. Now, look at verse 8. Yes, we are of good courage. And we would rather, what? Be away from the body and at home for the Lord. You're going, you're kind of young to be thinking about, you know, eternity and worried about this kind of thing. A third aspect of a God-pleasing faith is that we learn to live with this idea that says there's more. We've already touched on this a little bit, but Paul makes it real clear this. His desire in life was ultimately to be in the blessed experience and presence of the Lord. It's likely at the point he wrote this letter, he's been following Christ for 25, 30 years. you remember Paul's experience? He was Saul, became Paul on the road to Damascus. Pretty radical change in his life. And at that point, from that point forward, he had traveled back and forth across the Roman Empire, gone to different places, shared the gospel, done all these different things. And you would think, man, his life has been hard. Let me give you an example. 2 Corinthians 11 says this. He says, are we servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman, he says. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. This guy had danger all the... Yeah. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me for the anxiety of my church. Here's a guy, listen, who had faced some serious trials in life. You look at that list and go, man, God didn't like him. Did you see all the danger in there? Guess what? And I have to tell you, I'm still wrestling with this concept and this thought, trying to wrap my brain around it. Every one of those was God's plan for his life. You mean God took him into trials and difficulty? Even Job got that. He said, my life's a mess, and yet if this is God's plan and God's timing, that's where I want to be. And that's what I want you to grasp, is he had this want that said, I want the good eternity. I want my life to be lived in such a way that when I get to the end, I hear this, well done, good and faithful servant. Not, what did you run from? What trial did you run away from? What issue did you avoid? What thing did you... Listen, I suspect there's even a part of him that would have loved to leave the world. He wasn't suicidal, but he wanted to be in God's timing. So we wrestle with attention. We walk by faith, not sight. We want for a good eternity. Look at verse 9. Another way to translate the so that the ESV catches, it could also be it follows also. In other words, oh, by the way, also, this, catch this. Listen to this. Whether we're at home or away, we do what? We make it our aim to please who? To please God. Let me just ask you a blunt question. How many of us really get up in the morning and go, my goal in life is to please God? The call that Paul has here is for Christ to be preeminent in everything. In other words, in every aspect of his life, he wanted God to be the central focus of everything he did. Instead of trying to compartmentalize Christ into the church stuff and the my stuff, he said, it's all God's stuff. And so I want to worship God in everything I do. In fact, he wrote to the followers over at Colossae, in Colossians this way, he said this, and Jesus is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be what? Preeminent. That's the word he used. Paul believed the preeminence of Jesus, not just in church stuff, but in life. I want you to grasp this, graduating seniors. You're going to make decisions over the next few years that are going to radically impact and affect your life and the days ahead. You're going to make decisions that are going to, you're going to live with the rest of your life. As we all do, don't we? We get up every day and we make decisions. How's my life going to turn out? What am I going to do? If I go this way, what effect? His idea is this. We want everything we do, and I want to challenge you guys to everything you do to please God in everything, to worship him in everything. So for those of you graduating this month, what does God have next? More education or the workforce? You answer that question, what's the next stage? Where should I go to school? What kind of education should I get? What kind of job should I go to? What kind of career tech should I go? And when you answer that, how do you work that out? What do you do when you get there? What do you do when you go? See, what Paul was challenging the believers in pagan Corinth to do was to get in the habit of asking this question, what is God's plan for my life in that area? And I suspect many of us rarely ask that question, And then we look back and go, I wonder why things turned out the way they did. It's because we're not making our aim to please God, but to please us. See, instead of asking God for a spouse to marry, we allow our feelings and emotions to drive the conversation. Instead of asking God's will for a career path, we let our interests and desires drive the conversation. A huge part of following God is learning to aim to please God in everything we do. So maybe the question is this. Instead of asking, what would Jesus do? We need to start asking the question this. What would Jesus have me do? What would Jesus have me do here? What's his purpose? What's his plan? What's his direction? And then number five, he gives in verse 10, is to work to show yourself ready. Now, boy, we got to be careful here because we have a real easy and frequent tendency to fall into a works theology that says, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and God's going to like me. That's not what Paul's talking about. Look at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he's done in the body, whether good or evil. Now, don't hear me say that Paul is calling them to, and you and me, to work for our salvation. That's not what he's saying. Please. The thrust of the New Testament is to what? Follow Jesus by faith, okay? Faith in Christ alone is where salvation comes. But the overwhelming emphasis on faith does not preclude the requirement for you and I to be involved in doing and serving and ministering and listening to God's voice and therefore accomplish certain things. Because there's coming a day when we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And there's all, for all of us, coming a day when we will have to receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. Now, there's four areas, real quickly, I want you to see about this. They're not on the outline. If you want to make down quick notes, it's up to you. If not, just listen real fast. You like that? Listen fast. The first one about working to get ready is this. We need to understand this reality. Immortality, spiritual immortality with God is not automatic. There comes a place, listen, my friends, where you have to respond to the offer of God, where God comes to your life and says, will you follow me? Will you receive this faith that I want to give you so that you can follow me as a follower of Christ? If you hadn't done that, guess what? This is, y'all ready? This is deep. If you haven't followed Jesus, then you're not a follower, hello, of Jesus. Too simple? There has to come a place where we say, yes, I will follow you. Yes, I will listen to you. You can be moral. You can be nice. You can be a member of a church. You can stand up in front of the auditorium. We can clap for you on Senior Recognition Sunday. But if you never met Jesus, it's going to be tough come judgment seat day. It's going to be hard. Second, what you do in this life has moral significance and eternal consequences. There's a lot of people who would say this, well, you can do whatever you want to. You can go wherever you want to. There's really no consequences for anything. In fact, whatever you want to do in privacy, in the privacy, it doesn't matter. It won't affect anybody. I got to tell you, listen, seniors and the rest of us, that's a lie from the pit of hell. What you do in life, personally, publicly, matters. Well, nobody really knew. You knew. The decisions you make have eternal consequences. The choices you make have eternal consequences. And as the days of our life are relatively short, and folks, the older I get, the quicker I realize how fast this life is going to be over. What are you doing with the time you got? Third, there's a truth here that suffering in this life actually reveals the power of Christ. Let me ask, don't raise your hand, because if you do, we need to talk. But how many of you really, really would like to go suffer somewhere today? I want to suffer. I'd like to suffer. I think that'd be great. That'd be wonderful. Let's suffer. You want to suffer? Anybody? Yeah, no. None of us want to suffer. None of us want to have hardship. None of us want to have difficulties in life, right? Now let me ask it a different way. How many of you have never suffered in life? That's what I thought. We all have. We all will. It's part of life. And what I want you to grasp is the reality that as Job said it, God, I praise you for bringing the good in my life, and I praise you for the evil that you bring in my life. I got to tell you, I read that this week, and I was shocked. God didn't bring difficulties in our life, does he? Does he allow hardship in our life? Do you know the story of Job, right? You know, Satan went to God and said, hey, I want to, and God says, well, go ahead, test him, but you can't take his life. God allowed that to happen in his life. I don't know about you. I struggle with that one. I'm going, well, God, I thought you loved me and you wanted the best for me. You wanted my life to be easy and nothing to be good. Not always. Sometimes he'll take you through a hardship to get you ready for the next step. And then finally, there's a balance between having assurance and warning. If you fall too far to one side, you can become arrogant. Oh, I have assurance. I'm part of God's kingdom. God will never let me fall. I'll never have a struggle. You get an arrogance to yourself. And then there's the other side where you go, well, it's going to be hard. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be bad. And you let affliction kind of roll all over you, and you become hopeless. There's a balance in those two, guys, that we need to find. So let me close with this thought. For those of you who claim to follow Jesus, and I want to assume that's many of us in this room, maybe some listening on the radio as well, regardless of where you are in life, the pathway to please God is found by saying, I want to follow and listen to the voice of Jesus. I want to walk by faith, not by sight. I want to live in such a way that Christ is exalted and revealed in everything I do. Maybe you're here today and you say, I've never taken the first step. I'm a nice person. I'm a moral person. I'm a religious person. But are you a Christ-following person? That's the first step. Maybe you've taken that step, but you've not let him lead on from there. That's where you need to go. Maybe now is the time to let God lead you forward. And wherever you are, listen, I got to tell you, God wants to lead you forward. He has a plan for you, has a purpose for you, a direction for you. And the question isn't, does he love you? He does. The question isn't, does he have a plan for you? He does. The question is, will you let him lead? Will you let him lead? See, God-pleasing faith is a lifelong process whereby God is exalted through you. He wants to carry you step by step by step by step to the end. Will you let him lead you? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Our prayer is that you would be blessed in this time that you've allowed us to be together. Father, I pray for those who need to make some type of response. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be free to move in this time we call an invitation. But Father, we would be amiss to say, well, nobody walked forward, so God surely wasn't speaking. God, you speak to us.